We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Got to admit, that felt good. A little afternoon baseball on a Friday. The New York Yankees, the New York Mets. It may be non-alcoholic beer. It may not count, but it's baseball. And we are 6 days away from opening day. And I just need to say thank you. Thank you. I'm a very appreciative man. I don't ask for much in life. But for the last few months, I've asked for something very, very simple, and I have been very consistent about it. I said Steve Cohen. I said man from Milwaukee, David Stearns. He's now just David Stearns, by the way. I said in the most eloquent way I could, get me a stick. When I met with David Stearns a few weeks ago, we had a private conversation. I now am at liberty to tell you what I said to David Stearns.
Give me what I want.
And what I wanted was a bat. And he said, Evan, I don't know. The price is pretty high. And I said, give me what I want. Give me what the people want. Give me what we need. And that is one stick.
Give me what I want.
And he gave it to me. And he gave it to us. J.D. Martinez was so obvious to all of us with half a brain. And they did it, and they got it done. And Tiki Barber, you see this smile on my face?
I can't. It's through all the paint and the beard dye that's orange and red and purple and whatever the other side of your face is that I can't see right now. Gold. It's all you're all over the place today. But I guess you can be because you're jazzed for exactly what you wanted. For a second there, I forgot that when you talked to David Stearns, you actually didn't do it like officially. You just had an off-the-record conversation.
We had a nice get-to-know each other chat.
But I was expecting to hear his voice.
Oh.
For some reason. I was like, oh, wow.
No.
You kind of had a conversation with him about J.D. Martinez. And then I remembered, wait, you didn't even actually put it on tape. But obviously this makes sense if the price was right. And the price was right eventually for J.D. Martinez, despite him being somewhat Gavone-ish with the money, trying to get more money from all these teams that were, I guess we can call it, bidding for him. But, I mean, the price is right because this really doesn't cost the Mets a ton.
Yeah.
The way that they structured this deal is kicking out and deferring it out to 2030 or so where he'll be deferred payments, where he'll be living somewhere and it'll be tax-free for him. But it also helps because of the CBT. I mean, this is actually a perfect deal for all parties involved, especially if J.D. Martinez at 36, soon to be 37, performs like he should, presumably in the cleanup spot, but whatever he is, he just becomes the bat that the Mets have needed for a couple of years now.
Look, I think we all agreed, all of us, whether you're a Met fan or just an independent baseball observer, that they could use another bat. And this became a debate I hated having with you because the debate we had was I said, get me J.D. Martinez. Write the check, Steve Cohen. And if it's $12 million a year with the high tax the Mets have to pay, so be it. As a Mets fan,
give me what I want.
As a season ticket holder, give me what I want. I really don't care how much it costs you financially. You, on the other hand, that I respected as a businessman, said, but Ev, can you really give a 36-year-old DH, even if you're not paying him the $30 million, mm-hmm. you're giving him $15 million and it's costing you $30 million? And I never
That could never stick with me because I don't care.
Yeah, of
course. I have a billionaire owner. I don't care.
Right, but I care because I'm not counting the billionaire's money.
I understand.
I'm not saying just write the check. It's nothing. That's nothing to you.
Well, but this is how we both got what we wanted. Like, ultimately, this is the win-win because the New York Mets waited and waited and waited, and it didn't cost them anything prohibitive financially. Their CBT on this is going to be reasonable. What they're paying him is reasonable. Kicking the can down the road with deferred payments makes this thing reasonable. And you know what? Good for Steve Cohen. Mm-hmm. I don't give a rat's ass, but good for Steve Cohen. What I cared about, what Met fans cared about was, hey, I want to balance the two things they've stated. Giving young players a chance, evaluating what you have, but also giving your team a chance. Mm-hmm. The Mets, and you'll see it, can do both. They're going to do both. And now they've added a 36-year-old, yes, who hit 30 home runs, who drove in 100 RBIs, who supplies Pete Alonso with something he has never had in his Met career, and that's legitimate protection. So you got what you want, as in you speaking for Stearns and Cohen,
right,
in that it doesn't cost you a great amount of money. I got what I want, and we got what we want as Met fans because they're clearly a better team. And so this is one of those things in life, and this doesn't always happen in sports, where there's no argument. This is a win for everybody. Here's the argument. And I don't know where you're going with this, but okay, I'll tell you where I'm going with this. The question for my fellow Met fan, the question for the baseball fan is, what does this do to the New York Mets? How much better does this make the New York Mets? Do you still look at the New York Mets the way they've been described on this radio station for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks as a crappy team, as a bad team, as a lousy team? That's what I've heard from my fellow Met fans. That's what I've heard from the non-Met fans. I heard it doesn't matter. That's what I heard. I heard it doesn't matter. Yeah, JD makes you better. You still suck. I always thought the Mets were better than people realized. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I stand by that. Now, they're a little bit more better because they added a real bat. So the question I have, because everyone knows this is a no-brainer. I can't imagine anyone arguing against the Mets signing J.D. Martinez for this kind of contract. The question is, as we approach opening day 6 days away, does it change how you view this team?
It has to in some ways. It also makes you pine for consistency in what he did a year ago. Because it hasn't always been like this for J.D. Martinez. Mainly the number of games that he's been able to play. He had the back issue last year, right? Back stiffness or whatever
it was. He ended up having a few different IL stints. Still played 113 games, but yes, he missed time.
Which is a good amount of time. Yeah. But to your point about it will be a platoon in some senses if they're going to give him days off. Will the substitute, and I'm assuming it's Mark Vientos, even though they're both righties, does that give him the ability to be healthy for the entire season, right? And if that's the case, then obviously this is fantastic for the lineup, right? It's fantastic for the Mets as far as getting hits, scoring, having protection for Pete Alonso, et cetera, et cetera. But I think ultimately, as we all kind of look at this Mets season, it's what the rotation's going to do that maybe is the question mark. And that's only because of health, right? What's Seve's health like? What's Kodai's health like? Quintana, who's going to be the opening day starter, what's his health going to be like? Those are the questions that this doesn't really answer. Now, you can hope for health with the starting rotation, but from a lineup perspective, this makes so much sense. Even though, when he's, midway through this season at 36 years old, you hope that age doesn't catch up. You hope that his back issues don't catch up. But if everything is health, assuming positive health, this is great for the Mets. There's no other way to look at it, especially because the money and me being the, what can I call this? Independent financial observer. I'll call it the IFO.
Yes.
The IFO is the independent financial observer. That's for all sports. It even satisfies what my gripe was.
Yes.
Or my, you can't do this deal was. So this makes sense in all capacities.
The reason I had confidence about the New York Mets this season, and I still do, was the formula to their success was not having a dominant starting pitching rotation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it would take a lot of crazy things for this rotation led by Luis Severino and Sean Manaea and Adrian Hauser and Jose Quintana and a returning Kodai Senga to be the strength. The formula I saw and I see is an offense that's more reminiscent of 2022 and a bullpen that's really, really good.
Yep.
You mentioned this lineup. This lineup last year had absolutely pathetic production out of the DH spot.
Right.
Daniel Vogelbach was the DH most of the time. He hit .233. He was an abomination. The bar for J.D. Martinez is not that high. He doesn't have to replicate the numbers of last year. If he does, that's great.
Right.
He doesn't. He needs to be a significant improvement over what we've seen from DH a year ago. And if that happens, then the Met lineup, just from that one spot, is significantly better. Now, a few other reasons why I thought the Mets would be better this year is I expect a better year out of Jeff McNeil, who was terrible a year ago. I expect a better year out of Starling Marte. I expect Francisco Alvarez in year two to make that jump. But this is the real jump, because you're jumping from Vogelbach and Vientos, and Vientos struggled a lot when given the opportunity late last year to play. You're looking at a significant jump in production out of the DH spot.
Yeah, of course.
So their lineup is a lot better.
Yeah.
Now, the pitching, I get it. The pitching hasn't changed. It's not like they added Jordan Montgomery yesterday, and I don't expect that they will in the next 6 days. But they have taken a lineup that I was high on to begin with and have made it even better.
Yeah, well, it now makes this season feel like it's not. I know people still wanted to say, oh, they're punting, they're punting, they're punting. They're not punting. That's not. I don't think that's ever what David Stearns or Steve Cohen intended. Despite that narrative persisting, it was, we're going to evaluate. We are going to try to win, but we really need to see where we are. We really need to get our priorities in order. We need these young players to be the stars that we expected them to be. And most importantly, we need health. And so this year now feels maybe a little bit different. It doesn't feel like we can win 90-something games. Right? This feels like maybe we can really win 90-plus games. And not be an afterthought and not be a just sneak in to the postseason. Again, it all depends on health with the pitching staff. But other than that, I think it's hard to argue that this makes this Met team significantly better than what it was 2 days ago.
There's no doubt this makes this Met team better. The question is, how much better? And the question is, if you're a Met fan out there who last week thought they were a 75-win team, now you're telling me you think they're a 90-win team? That doesn't make freaking sense either. I love J.D. Martinez. I think it's a great addition.
Right.
But if your attitude went from they're a sub-500, 75-win team to now all of a sudden we're taking the NL East, but I'd like to know what you're smoking.
Right, but that's not where we were.
That's not. No. I've been positive about
right,
this team.
I know you have. And so, and I'm not saying I was positive, but I was 80, right? It wasn't a 500, sub-500 team to me. This was a 87, 88-win team, maybe. Now it feels like you can get into the 90s as long as your health. The thing you worry about, this is also the same with the Yankees. Age scares the hell out of me. It really does, because you just never know. We talked about this the other day.
Yep.
Some days they're just off a cliff and it's done.
When you sign a 36-year-old who'll be 37 in August, there are risks that are attached to it. But let me tell you something about life. Life has risks. Life has a lot of risk. Let me tell you the other great part about signing J.D. Martinez that I think everybody knows, but you don't really, really know until you hear it out loud. Peter Jefferson Martinez Aloysius Alonso, my guy Pete, the reason I have this long beard, Pete Alonso has never in his Met career been offered any semblance of protection. If you look at the guys who have hit behind Pete Alonso since he was called up in 2019, I will read you the laundry list and you will get depressed. It features Daniel Vogelbach.
Mm-hmm.
It features Michael Conforto. It features J.D. Davis. It features Dominic Smith. You know who it featured more than anyone else 2 seasons ago? Eduardo Escobar. Now, some of these guys I mentioned, I'm not saying they're all crap.
Right.
But what I'm saying, they
had good moments.
Some of them had fine moments. You know what they are all not? Protection for Pete Alonso. You may as well be going bareback. You have no protection for Pete Alonso when those are the guys protecting him. And I believe, as much as some baseball people say protection doesn't exist, that's no such thing. I think you guys are full of crap. I think protection matters. I think having a legitimate slugger behind Pete Alonso matters. Now, let me tell you something else that sort of depressed me last night. I found out about this signing while I was showering. That's a true story. I was wiping my beard off, and I was taking a long, hot shower. And sometimes when I'm in the shower, I don't know if this is abnormal, I have my phone with me, and I check what's going on in the world. So I am on the Mets text chat, which does feature Tiki Barber, as I'm in the shower.
What?
That's right. Okay. I was writing you guys while I was buck naked.
How is that possible?
Because I put it in like this kind of side compartment.
Oh, got
so
it.
So the water doesn't hit it.
And then you've like just tapped to talk?
Exactly.
Okay, I got it.
So I get a message while I'm showering. J.D. Martinez has an offer from the Mets and the Angels, but he doesn't like either offer.
Yeah, he's being money seeking. He's seeking more money.
Nothing wrong with that.
Right.
I quickly respond, boy, I'm curious how much money he's asking for. Within 5 minutes of that, as the water is protruding down my beard and hair, I see the John Heyman tweet, Mets sign J.D. Martinez, and I am excited. I am ecstatic. I get the towel. I run out of the shower. I start drying myself off, and I run to see my wife, and I say, honey, I've got good news, and I've got bad news. And she says, what's going on? I said, the bad news is I have to record a Rico Bronya. But the good news is I have great Met news. And she responded the way that depressed me. Her response caused the biggest buzzkill, and I love you, baby, that I could have ever had. And she knows she caused the buzzkill. When I said I had great Met news, she didn't know what I meant. Mm. She thought I meant Pete Alonso extended with the team.
Oh, she was waiting for the beard to come
so
off.
So she's like, I got the razor. I'm so happy. You won the battle. And I'm like, no, it's not.
We signed J.D. Martinez.
We signed at DH. He's 36. But
so
he's
really, she
really
was, now forget
good.
Your buzzkill. It was her buzzkill. She expected the beard to come off the hair to get cut today or tomorrow.
Yes.
Right? She was expecting a cleaned up Evan Roberts. Instead, now we're on SNY. Right.
Hello, by the way. Hello,
SNY. This thing is epic today.
Yeah.
Epic.
My beard is all different colors. It's an orange mustache.
Mustache is what's killing me, dude.
It's pretty bad. I got an orange mustache. I have gold on the side. I got purple on the side. And I got red kind of on my chin. That came from Big Zoo, by the way. That was a Big Zoo call. So good job, Big Zoo. Thank you very much.
Hey, that's what I do.
So, yeah, she had a buzzkill, but then so did I. Because I was like, how could I be this excited about this?
Just a DH.
When it was just really at the end of the day, yes, I wanted it. Yes, I've been calling it for it on the radio for 2 months. Yes, I demanded it from David Stearns in our little private meeting. But at the end of the day, it wasn't the jugular. So my wife kind of caused a buzzkill on this whole thing. Like, it's good, but is it that good?
Thanks, Miss Roberts.
Thank you.
So Mrs. Roberts.
Mrs. So I had to reevaluate my own excitement. Like, yeah, as excited as I am. I mean, what is it? It's a bat, ladies and gentlemen.
You know what it is? It's just what you wanted.
It's what I wanted.
Even if it doesn't ultimately, I don't know, lead to anything, even if he isn't the protection that Pete Alonso needed because he has a down season or whatever it is, it's just you did something.
Yes.
And so to you, it feels right. Whether or not it ultimately is right, we'll find out.
Look, ultimately,
starting in the minors is going to be, I don't know how long he needs. We were talking about that in the Mets chat, or they were at least. Like, what are you doing in the offseason?
Yeah, he
like,
should be.
Should you not be swinging? Go to the batting
he
cage.
He should be there Thursday at Citi Field. The fact he's got to go to my. I mean, JD, what are we doing here, buddy?
You're 36 years old, dude.
Dude, you're ready.
You've been doing this for 15 years, man. Come on.
You're a freaking DH. All right, well, just go show up.
Right.
And you don't have to do much.
Suck in the majors and maybe get lucky every now and then.
I do think you hit on something. As fans, look, we're not the general manager of the team, but we all are passionate about our teams.
Mm-hmm.
And going into every offseason, whether it's the Giants, more on them later, it seems like they don't like J.J. McCarthy. We'll get to that in a little bit. Whether you're a Jet fan, whether you're a Met fan, whether you're a Yankee fan, you all have what you want. And sometimes you're insistent on what you want. And you're waiting on what you want. And there's a specific player that you want. And usually during offseasons, it's a week or two, and then it happens. Mm-hmm. Look at the NFL. If you had a request in NFL free agency, you scream about it for a week or two, and then you get your answer. In baseball, since really late January, I have been screaming, they need a stick. They need a bat. To the point where I wasn't even, like, I didn't even care who it was. Like, it turned out to be J.D. Martinez, and it turned out to be obvious, but for a while it was, just get me a professional, and I didn't care. And so for 2.5 months as a Met fan, I've been screaming for this thing that to me makes the team better. Makes them a little bit better.
Yeah.
Makes their lineup better. And when you scream about it and you're passionate about it and it doesn't happen, you start to think it's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
And a week before opening day to get the news that it's happening, I think satisfies me and other Met fans as, hey, maybe they were listening to us. maybe our screaming and yelling, whether it's on social media, whether it's on WFAN, maybe it's in my private get-together with Mr. Stearns himself, that it actually led to them saying, you know what? You're right. We were right, Met fans.
Or they were just sitting and looking at a guy who was about to start the season doing nothing, doing absolutely nothing, and said, you know what? Let's get creative. Let's find a way to make this make financial sense.
Yes, that is the real answer.
First, are you willing to take a deferred salary? Because if the answer is no, there's no way we're paying you $28 to $30 million based on our CBT obligations. There's no chance. And he said, all right, cool. I'll go move to Texas or wherever the heck I'm going to retire with no state income tax. And I'll defer it for 5 years or 6 years after my career is done. It'll be good income money for me.
Yes. Right?
And get good income for me. I don't have to do anything. So the only reason it worked is because it was an opportunistic signing by the Mets, because it financially made sense.
No, Tiki is actually...
If he was making $15 million a year
and
his thing was crushing, you know, the Steve Cohen tax even more for the Mets, this would not have happened.
I think he's 1,000% right. Everything I just said is a load of crap as a fan that I'm like, oh, yeah, maybe we did something. We had nothing to do with it.
Nothing.
It was strictly Steve Cohen may be this billionaire, and we all may look at him as Mr. Moneybags. Even Steve Cohen has his limits.
Mm-hmm.
And to Steve Cohen, giving J.D. Martinez $40 million after a tax was never going to happen. As much as I wanted it to happen, giving him $30 million after tax was never going to happen. Again, as much as I wanted it to happen, it needed to work financially. And 1 week before opening day, Scotty Boras got down on his hands and knees like he has for Matt Chapman and Blake Snell and said, please, I'll take 1 year, $4.5 million.
I'll get no commission out of this, but please, I can't let this affect my relationship with Juan Soto or Pete Alonso anybody else that has a big deal coming up next year. All right, give me your lineup right now, Ev.
Brandon Nimmo, Francisco Lindor, Pete Alonso 3, J.D. Martinez 4, Francisco Alvarez 5,
Alvarez.
Jeff McNeil 6, Starling Marte 7, Brett Beatty 8, Harrison Bader 9.
I like it.
Not too shabby.
That works.
Let's get to your calls. Met fans, has this changed your view of this team? Are you now looking at completely different expectations, slightly improved expectations, or are you actually one of those people that's like, it doesn't make a difference. We're going to suck anyway. Let's kick it off with Ryan and Wanacue. What's up, Ryan?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. A good day for the Metsies for quite a few different reasons that you touched on. But also one that that hasn't been addressed yet on either one of the shows today.
Go ahead.
Is even if the Mets stink, let's say they're not doing well, the starting pitching turns out to be what we may think they
compromised in some way.
You now have a movable deadline piece that is not only attractive in salary to a couple of teams, you are now making him available to probably a dozen teams who might be in contention that have better minor league systems. They might be attractive to the Rays and teams that don't like to spend money.
It is a great, great point. It's just such a depressing point. But it's a great point. Like, I'm not, Ryan, you're not wrong. It's just like, really? Do we want, and I appreciate your phone call. I appreciate that you did it. Because the one thing I don't want to do, whether it's on WFAN or it's on the Rico Bronya itself, is say, hey, guys, great signing. We can trade him in July for prospects. Now, Ryan is right. If I'm wrong, and I've been wrong many times before, and the Mets suck this season, everything I'm confident about doesn't work. The pitching's a disaster. The team's a disaster. And yet J.D. Martinez is having a good season. Ryan is spot on, but really, a week before opening day, the Mets make a good signing. Hey, we can trade them.
That's like a month in conversation. that's a little bit. Kick that one down the line a little bit.
I know.
Save it because it's a good thought, and you can say you said it first.
I appreciate that Ryan called to say it, though. I'll tell you why. I don't have to say it. You don't have to say it. But our audience is aware of it. If you didn't think of it that way, now you know.
You also just don't want to think about it. You don't want to think about, we suck this year. Let's just move some pieces and get some prospects. You don't want to think that.
Not baseball season.
Pitch one has been thrown in the regular season.
As depressed as I've been going into baseball seasons, and I've had years in which I don't have enthusiasm in terms of that the team will be successful, I always go into opening day with hope. I always go into opening day with, maybe I'm wrong. You never know. Maybe Dylan G is going to be this incredible arm in a rotation. You know, maybe Gary Matthews Jr. is going to be awesome this year. You know what I mean? I never want to think before the start of the year, I could trade that guy at the deadline. But I do appreciate Ryan bringing it up. Matt's on Long Island. Good afternoon, Matt.
What up, Matt?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. So, Evan, honestly couldn't be as excited as a Met fan when we landed J.D. Martinez. That said, the longer it's marinated, the more and more I'm starting to think they're officially cutting ties with Vientos. And if you're that quick to cut ties with Vientos, how much leash does Beatty really have? And that's my biggest concern and takeaway from all this, is they're not giving these guys their fair shot.
I'm not following you. So why do you think that they're done with Vientos?
Well, so Vientos doesn't have a glove. His only way to play is DH.
Yes.
And if you're paying Beatty and he's this guy that you're expecting to be, you know, Pete Alonso's insurance, you know, you're not taking him out of the line.
So my response to that, and Matt, I want to make this clear. I don't know what the Mets are going to do. I tweeted this out earlier. To me, they have one roster spot up for grabs. It's between Mark Vientos and DJ Stewart, which means there is a chance Mark Vientos will go to AAA. Mm-hmm. And you may be right. Even if he tears it up at AAA, there may not be an opportunity for him at the major league level. I disagree with that. That's not what I would do. If I'm the New York Mets, and I've been damn consistent about this, when I would argue with Tiki and others about, well, you've got to give the young guys a chance, I would have Mark Vientos on this major league roster. He would play third base consistently against left-handed pitching. Mm-hmm. Brett Beatty would face right-handed pitching. And by the way, let's see how each guy does.
Yeah.
That may take care of itself. Maybe Brett Beatty, who's hit a little bit more at AAA, had a rough inning against the Yankees today. If you were listening to the game, Emmanuel did an outstanding job, as did Susan Wallman. Brett Beatty had an inning in which he screwed up a rundown and then didn't make a backhand play on a ground ball that was ruled a double. So, yeah, I'm the idiot watching these spring training games and listening to it. And look, Brett Beatty was a little rough at third base. I would have both guys in the mix at third. Mm. Then, as Tiki brought up, JD may have an IL stint.
Yep.
He may need a day. There are at-bats for both guys. And if the Mets send Vientos down, which they may do, I will say it here. I will say it on the Rico. It's a mistake. DJ Stewart should be sent down. Mark Vientos deserves that opportunity. I'm not burying him the way everyone else is. I just think you can give him that opportunity, Teak, while also having J.D. Martinez as your primary DH.
You're almost, especially because this is a season where they're truly evaluating. Now, if they happen to win, get in the postseason, and something happens, or come to deadline, you start making moves because it feels like you're way ahead of your schedule, or whatever you think the evaluation was going, you're way ahead of it. That's a different story, but this is an evaluation year for the Mets. Now, they can win, obviously, during an evaluation year, but that's primarily what it feels like. So it makes no sense to have this prospect in Vientos who, just because you signed J.D. Martinez, and I emphasize for a pittance of what he was asking relative to the CBT, he's still going to get his $12 million. It is what it is. But it's not affecting you. It's not affecting what you're trying to do. It doesn't make sense to send Vientos away or trade him or put him in the minors and say, you know what, kid, we want you to play every day. Because I think the platoon at third gives him an opportunity to see a lot of at-bats. And then if he also gives J.D. Martinez breaks,
he's going to play.
He's going to have to play 150 games, which he hasn't done really effectively for a couple of years. It gives him a chance to grow in multiple ways and find his place, as opposed to, we are a ready-made team, you don't fit the bill, get out of here, kid.
Not only,
that doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. I hope the Mets don't do it. I am saying it again. Mark Vientos should be on the Major League roster. If you really want to even get into the weeds on it, roster-wise, I think DJ Stewart makes less sense than Vientos. McNeil could play the outfield. Whatever. My point is this, and it remains the same as I made a month ago, 2 months ago. It's the same point I made to the man himself. You can allow young players to play and evaluate them while also trying to win with a player like J.D. Martinez. And I think Carlos Mendoza is smart enough to figure it out, where you can still give Vientos and Beatty that opportunity while simultaneously trying to win with J.D. Martinez in the lineup. Let's go to Anthony in Queens. How you doing, Anthony?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's happening?
You know, look, I'm a New York fan, like a depressed fan, right? So I'm a Mets, a Jets, a Nets, you know, totally never had happiness,
yes,
right?
Yes, I feel you.
But look, so last season, I really care about the Mets the most. And, you know, Uncle Steve came in, and I was like, he's a fan, he's got money, he's gonna make this different. And I feel like he tanked last season, like he pulled out way too soon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he sold the whole team, and then, like, we got some prospects back, but, I mean, come on, there's always going to be people in the pipelines. I don't know.
I got to tell you, Anthony, it was tough at the time. It was very difficult giving up, and you never know. In this world of baseball, if they didn't give up, who knows? Maybe they would have gotten hot enough, sneak into the playoffs, and go on a run.
Yeah.
But the fact they were able to turn in two fossils, and Max Scherzer is a fossil. He's not only a fossil, he choked in every big spot when he was here, and choked in Texas, too, by the way. Congrats on the World Series ring. You had basically nothing to do with it. The fact they were able to turn in the two fossils into three legitimate prospects, and we'll see what they turn into. Ryan Clifford, Luis Angel Acuna, Drew Gilbert, we don't know. I disagree with you. It was tough at the time. I sat here next to Tiki when they dealt Verlander. I was very upset in that moment, but now with a clear head, it was the right thing to do. It was a ship that was sinking, and they decided to go in the younger route.
It felt like the right time to fold your hand. It was the right time to just get out of it. And ultimately, it proved to be correct. You talk about Scherzer not participating, basically, in the postseason. And then Verlander, the same thing that happened last year is happening again this year. So, to me, it was the right move because the plan that they had, and we talked about it a lot last year, both when I was with BT, but then also once we moved over here, they had a philosophy. You could feel it. Like, get these old guys, these experienced players. We can win a championship. Everything's got to break right. But we have a window, this, and it's tiny. Like, it's really tiny to win a championship, but everything's got to go right. And then things started to go wrong before the season even started.
Yeah.
Right? And once it really got out of hand, you just had to let it go. I know it was like a dream.
It was tough.
It was like a dream that this little hole we could squeeze through and get a championship viable. But you could tell midway through the season it was not there.
Even now.
To me, it wasn't even a question.
Even now, because one of the things I said to you last year when they traded Verlander was, how do you replace him? What is this rotation next year if you're giving up on both Scherzer and Verlander? Well, here we sit a year later, in which we now feel pretty good about this lineup, but there are questions about the rotation. And despite Verlander missing the start of the season, he's going to be ready, I think, a few weeks into the season.
Yeah,
so
of course,
doesn't look like an extended injury. Would the Mets have been better off not making that trade? Ryan Clifford and Drew Gilbert aren't even here. Justin Verlander at the top of the rotation. How would you feel about the Mets if everything was the same and Verlander was at the top of the rotation? And as painful as this is to say, because I want to win so badly, even though in the short term for 2024, that would make the Mets better, imagining this exact same roster with Verlander in the mix, it ain't worth it. They added two legitimate top 100 prospects that maybe makes a difference down the road. While Verlander, it'd be 1 year left with him.
Mm-hmm.
And who the hell knows at this age? So it was a tough decision. I think it was the right decision. To my fellow Met fans, I heard for weeks and months, whether it was on social media or was down the street or was calling this radio station, that the Mets suck, that I was naive for thinking the Mets are going to be good in 2024. Has this one move really changed your view on this entire season? Toll-free number is 877-337-6666. We'll also get to a new injury concern around the Yankees and movie news that even if the Mets didn't sign J.D. Martinez, would have changed my whole complexion on the day. If you are my age, what have I told you? One of the great movies of all time is getting a sequel.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
To our friends in Brooklyn, New York, watching UConn Stetson. Oh, holy crap. UConn is up by 33 at the half on poor Stetson. There was one really good game today between Northwestern and FAU that went to overtime before Northwestern pulled it out late. San Diego State got a little bit of a scare from UAB. And I wonder about this UConn game, because I don't know if you know about this. This happened last night. There was a blowout last night, and I'm trying to remember the game. Oh, it was the Gonzaga game. Mm-hmm. Gonzaga was blowing out McNeese, and they decided to put another game on the TV screen at the arena, which caused Mark Few to be really, really upset.
I don't blame him.
I was good. So you would that piss you off too?
Of course.
So wait a second. Like,
be here.
Okay, hold on.
You're here to watch this game.
If you're at Barclays Center right now, and I don't know, maybe you are, and you're so bored by this game, you've decided to plug in your headphones in the iPhone, and you're listening via the Odyssey app. And if that's the case, scream as loud as you can, Brooklyn! I wonder if anybody did that. But if you're in Barclays Center right now, the second half just began, UConn's up now by 35. Wouldn't it kind of be nice to put something else on the TV?
Well, can I say something real quick?
Yeah, you're allowed to, sure.
These games, right, they're only two per session. This is the second game of the first session.
Right.
How many people do you think already left?
That's fair.
That's what I'm saying. Right? Yeah, it's like that, who's
that,
there?
That Barclays is probably already halfway empty. But so that guy that just screamed out Brooklyn, that thing is still echoing.
But if you want to keep people there to buy more concessions, why not? But now, obviously, right now, there's not a lot of great games on. Like, the other game going on is Clemson, New Mexico, and they're up by 21.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, there isn't the alternative. I guess you could put us on the TV screen.
They could put some old reruns of Seinfeld on or Friends. By the way, just keep people engaged.
I went to lunch with Tracy today because we had time. I had lunch time today because I didn't have to come into the city. We're sitting in the restaurant. Friends was on.
See, why not put Friends on?
The sound wasn't even on, and I actually enjoyed it.
See?
Right? All you got to do is see the animations of all those characters. They were all young, too. It was like season two.
It was kind of great. The good old days.
Any episode of Friends, bro. You don't need sound.
You're right. I just think Mark Few's wrong. Like, I get it. You're concerned about your own victory, but what about all the people that are there? They're bored. They're watching a terrible game. This UConn game right now is a 34-point game. Now, Zoo's right. People may leave, but you know how you make them stay? Put something else on.
Yeah, but, it's four... 32 right now. If you're still in that arena, you're there for the long haul, right? You're just staying.
And maybe you're going to the night session. So you're like, why am I leaving? What am I going to do? Go to a bar? I guess you could.
They're there.
That's so true.
You probably do have to leave the building, right?
You do. You have to leave and then re-enter with your new tickets.
So I'm getting out of there and I'm loading up on some cheaper beers across the street. You know what I mean?
100%.
That's a fair point.
Going to get different kinds of food.
That is a fair point. There was one piece of news coming out of today's Mets-Yankees spring training game. It was the fact that Anthony Rizzo was a late scratch.
The Rizzo RZA.
Aaron Boone was on the radio broadcast with Emmanuel and Susan. He called it some lat tightness. They don't think it's a big deal. Anthony Rizzo has said he doesn't think it's a big deal. He expects to be ready for opening day.
God, all these obliques, lats, backs. What's wrong with these athletes?
They're soft, Tiki.
I don't know, man. They're training like football players, I think, as opposed to baseball players. Do some yoga, people. Seriously, do some Pilates.
Yeah.
Right? Stop all the weightlifting.
A little pliability.
Right. Give me some pliability, flexibility. Drink some water. Get some massages, acupuncture, whatever the hell it takes.
Take a jog, you know?
Right.
Don't just sit in the weight room.
Go run a little bit. Look at Giancarlo Stanton. He got it right, finally.
I know. He's the one guy healthy.
Dude, he's doing great in the preseason.
Every other Yankee's got some nagging injury. Giancarlo's like, what? I'm fine. Let's get back to your calls. Obviously, a big surprising night last night for Met fans. They signed J.D. Martinez. Has this changed your view and expectations for this Met team coming up? Let's go to Tony in Deer Park. What's up, Tony?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
We're good, Tony.
Good.
Am I in the minority here? Am I the only one who feels like J.D. Martinez is coming here to Queens to become a fossil?
Why do you believe that?
Because I'm a Mets fan.
Oh, come on. Don't give me that. I got to deal with Jet Evan like that.
He's going to have an oblique, and he's going to hit 220. And we're going to say that this guy was raking everywhere he went. We wanted him 5-6 years ago. We never got him.
Yep.
But we got him now.
Yeah, when he was in Boston, he was hitting 300, right? That's the J.D. you want.
Here's the thing, Tony. Are you in the minority? I can't kind of measure every single Met fan, but what I can tell you is, while what you're describing is possible, I cannot tell you that it is impossible that a 36-year-old who a year and a half ago we looked at as on the decline when he had a very average year in Boston, I can't rule out the fact that J.D. Martinez hits a wall. But I don't feel that way right now. Like, I'm excited about the move. When the Mets brought in other fossils in the past,
yeah,
and I'm not going to use Scherzer and Verlander as the examples. I want to use bats as examples. I think we already knew that the decline was here. Like, I'll give you Bobby Abreu as an example, because it's in the last decade. I don't want to go back 30 years. I'm going to go back the last 10 years. The Mets brought in Bobby Abreu when he was 40 years old, and he had missed the entire season previously, and the year before that was clearly on the decline. So Bobby Abreu was like, yeah, I'm not surprised. Adrian Gonzalez, I'll use another example from the last decade or so. Same thing. I don't think J.D. Martinez fits that, because last year he was awesome. So I can't arrogantly tell you that your negative description can't happen. I'm just not sitting here today thinking it's going to happen. There are other guys they could have brought in, and certainly I just named two from the past where, yeah, I didn't expect Adrian Gonzalez to be prime Adrian Gonzalez. I didn't expect Bobby Abreu to be prime Bobby Abreu. I didn't expect that. Even Robinson Cano, I didn't expect prime Robinson Cano. But in JD's case, because of the way he played last year, and it's a DH?
Yeah.
Yeah, Teek, I have a little bit more confidence.
Right, and his last year in Boston, that's what people look at. But the number that mattered in Boston was the home runs. That was the only thing that was really weighed down.
Well, that was concerning, though. He's a power hitter.
Of course.
It's 16 home runs that year.
But he still had, what it was, I was just looking at it, 43 extra doubles?
It was an average season. It was not a,
yeah, it wasn't he's lost bad.
It. Yeah.
It wasn't like, oh, God, he just fell off a cliff. It's not like, it wasn't like Pete Alonso hitting 218.
Right.
You know what I mean? He hit 270-something. And he had a bunch of doubles, and it just wasn't a masher. Even though, and I think that was the first year he just only DH. I don't think he played a lot in the field.
Right.
Maybe that was a harbinger of some of the back issues that he was talking about that you were alluding to earlier. But he rebounded in L.A. Now, probably because it was a good team.
Yeah, that helps.
Right? Sometimes, helps. Like, you know, rising ships or rising waters, they lift all the ships, well, right? Whatever that saying is. So perhaps that's what it was. Remember those Boston teams? They weren't good, man.
Yeah, they were considering trading them at the deadline that year.
You just probably get, like, I don't want to be here, right? This isn't going anywhere.
It's certainly possible. And here's the other thing. Let's say our last caller's right. Let's say he's right. And we all go back, thinking back to the excitement that Met fans and myself had in mid-March. Mm-hmm. And we laugh that we were so excited for J.D. Martinez. He's a fossil. He stinks. He's terrible. Let's say that happens. Okay. It was a one-year deal.
Yeah.
And then he's gone.
And it cost you $4.5 million.
And it disappears.
Right.
And he's not on the team next year. And we all move on. And if it's that bad, who knows? Maybe he's even DFA'd in the middle of August. Like, I don't know. The point is,
the risk attached to this is very, very limited.
Right, because they got the number right.
And I'll give you a funny prediction. A very funny prediction that I truly, truly believe, because that's baseball Susan. That's baseball Susan is a mantra we should all live by. Joel Sherman, who I think is one of the better baseball reporters out there, reported that J.D. Martinez has already consented to go to the minor leagues.
Yes.
He needs a little bit more time to get ready. Whatever, I just have him in the lineup on opening day, but okay. He's going to spend maybe a week or two getting ready.
Mm-hmm.
So for the first week of the season, the Mets are going to have to go with the plan prior to signing J.D. Martinez, which means Brett Beatty's going to play third base and Mark Fientos is going to DH. Like I said earlier, we had a spring training game on earlier today. I listened and I watched. And for those that don't know, in Mark Fientos' first at-bat, he hit the sexiest opposite field line drive home run you'll ever see. A Piazza-esque bomb.
Oh.
And I saw something in Mark Vientos' eyes.
High comparison.
You like that?
I do.
Ah, well, he hit the ball hard.
It's just you challenged me.
Oh, yeah.
You bring in competition.
That's right.
You think you're getting me on the bench?
He's going to get red hot.
Well, screw you!
That's right. He's going to get red hot. I'm telling you right now, here's your first Mets controversy of the season. I'm just letting everybody know what's going to happen, and you can formulate your own opinions. I'll let you know mine once it happens. Mark Vientos is going to tear up the first week of this season. Mm-hmm. He is going to tear it up, and guys and gals will say naturally, you can't send this guy down. I can hear Beningo in my head right now. Bro, let me tell you can't send this guy down, bro. Now, what do we do about that? We'll say. Let's see what the first week holds. But I'm telling you right now, you can mark it, you can save it, you can predict it. Mark Vientos is about to tear up the first homestand of the season.
By the way, that's the best thing that could happen because
of course.
They don't owe J.D. Martinez anything. It's not like he's a career Met or has a history with the Mets. They owe it more to Mark Vientos. So if he's playing, if he's earning it, you got to keep him.
Well, just better mean Brett Beatty better be playing well. Otherwise, he'll be the odd man out.
That's true.
Let's go to Vito in Staten Island. Hey, Vito.
Hey, how you doing, guys? I just want to call about J.D. I think that your signing is going to add productivity because we know he's going to see better pitches to Alonso.
Yep.
I think he's going to bat at least 25, 30 points higher, have more RBIs. You're going to see better pitches. But also, the guys ahead of him, the two table setters, are going to be pitched carefully too because they know Alfonso's going to get better pitches to hit. And that's going to impact the way they're going to get pitched too.
I completely agree that Pete Alonso benefits in a huge way. There's no stat to kind of say it's going to add this amount of points and this amount of home runs. There's no way to figure that. It's just using logic. You know, when you have a real slugger behind Pete Alonso, if you're an opposing pitcher and you're behind 2-1, you may say to yourself, without opposing slugger behind him, I'm going to throw a slider in the dirt and Pete may get jumpy and chase it.
Yeah.
But when JD's on deck, maybe you're not throwing a slider in the dirt because you don't want to fall behind Pete and potentially walk him. Maybe he's getting a fat cookie and maybe he's ripping a double. I think the protection helps Pete in a big way. Ozzie's in Woodridge. Ozzie!
Gentlemen, how you doing?
We're good.
Good.
All right. You mentioned risk. You mentioned risk twice.
Yes.
About 15 years ago, I took a risk. I got a vasectomy. Best decision I ever made in my life.
Oh, jeez.
The biggest risks in life are the ones you don't take.
That's right.
We got Martinez. Now go get Montgomery.
I don't know if that's going to happen.
Hey,
Ozzy, are you just listening on the radio today?
Yes.
Because I expected you to comment on my partner's face,
like,
but you didn't.
It looks
so
like
I had to guess you were just listening on the radio today.
Well, he described it. I would have a visual of like Mardi Gras.
Right. You got to see it.
Threw up on his
Turn
face.
Turn on SNY at some point. You got to see it.
Are you saying this is the worst and or best beer that I've had?
It's just the mustache, bro, is killing me.
Mustache is killing you? Well, here's the good news, ladies and gentlemen. Today is the final day of the 3-week agreement I made to color my beard every single day. This was all agreed upon to get out of this beard guarantee I had for Pete Alonso. So on Monday, this upcoming Monday, in just 3 days, at 4:30 p.m. Eastern time, live on SNY, live on WFAN, I will finally get a chance to at least rid myself of half the beard. It'll be a farewell ceremony to my beard because half of it goes away. I have to spend the final week, half a beard, half clean face, and that's it. I'm done. So for anyone who has enjoyed these colored beards, or maybe you hate it, maybe you think it's annoying, maybe you think it's obnoxious, it's over. We've done it. 3 weeks, And for this final day, day 15 of this, I decided to splatter all kinds of colors all over my face.
Yeah, you did. You love splattering everything on your face.
Yes, and it kind of matches your bandana.
I am wearing my New York Mets bandana
today. Sort of epic.
Yeah.
I can't believe you want to stop coloring the beard. This could become like your signature look. This is your thing. It's like Stone Cold Steve Austin with the beards. You're Evan Roberts with the beard. That's your trademark hallmark thing.
You can't get rid of the beard. I hate the idea of you shaving that
thing, because you're very beardy yourself, Zoo.
The ladies love the beard.
Connor does bring up a good point. That's Connor Green and Big Zoo, because Loogie and Sean are lazy today. They wanted to watch college basketball. Mm-hmm. That's fine. So they're off today. They also saw a Yankee Met game and said, it's a half a day. I'll take it off. But you see how serious about work Tiki and I are.
Of course.
We're here either way.
Right. Been here for hours.
That's right.
You were scoring the game. I was... actually watching some tragic news about the Princess Middleton.
Yeah, I saw that. That's sad news.
Having a cancer diagnosis, so prayers out for the royal family.
Yeah, I saw that. That was terrible.
Tough. Yeah, it was.
And it's annoying how everyone needed to find out what was going on over the last week. Hey, dummies, it was probably something private, and it was probably something crappy like this.
Right. Exactly.
So best to her and her family. But Connor says, this is my thing now.
That's your thing. Or it could be your thing.
Everybody's got to have a thing.
Well,
I mean,
when you walk
thing.
Around, that'll be like, oh, my God, there's Evan Roberts. There's his trademark beard. Can I have a picture with the beard?
The only reason he may be right is because of you, Tiki. Because of that freaking day last week in which we're all over TV with you versus Saquon.
Right.
And everybody is watching Tiki. And in the background, they got the clown with the different colored beards.
You give me like, I don't know, comic relief. Seriously. It's like... I can't really get mad at Tiki because look at his ghost.
I'm still surprised.
Thank you, and I appreciate that.
I'm still surprised that, of all people, Stephen A. Smith did not say something.
I can't believe nobody said anything. You have this clip that's going viral with you with this ridiculous beard, and no one was like, hey, what's with that guy's beard? And it just moved right past it.
I just envisioned.
Because you know why, Ev?
Why?
Because it works, and you need to let it ride. You need to keep doing it.
Well, I appreciate the passion. I can tell you this on Monday, it ain't riding, all right? Half of it is going away because I've earned it.
Yes.
15 days of this with viral clips all over, it's over, it's done, kaput. Mm. Unless I just get Pete Alonso extending over the weekend, then I don't have to go half and half. I'll just cut the whole damn thing.
Right.
And I'm done.
You know you're going to miss it.
Maybe just a little.
You know you're going to miss it.
Junior. Junior is calling from Brentwood.
What up,
How you
Junior?
Doing, Junior?
How you doing, Evan, Tiki? I'm a little nervous. I'm sorry, but
I
have 3 points for you. Me and Evan, you and I think alike when it comes to the Mets. I do have them as a third wild card team. I think JD to the team helps out tremendously, and I think that this is a team that if everything pans out, we can definitely make a deep run if everything pans out. My second thing is I have a proposal for you.
Mm, yes.
If at any point this year, off season and during the season, if Pete Alonso signs with the Mets or an extension, I will personally pay for your haircut. I have my good barber.
Oh, nice.
He's Joe the Barber. He's in Deer Park, and I've known him for almost 10 years, and he's somebody that I would recommend as – you know, a fan.
That is very much appreciated.
Yeah.
Thank you. And my third and final question is, what are you going to do if Cody Rhodes doesn't finish his story in WrestleMania?
I've got to tell you, and I'm so glad you asked that question, that last one, because I was thinking about it this morning. I really was. When I was driving in, I had already thought enough about JD Martinez that I had moved on to WrestleMania 40. And I got to tell you, I apologize.
You're over it.
I don't want Cody Rhodes finishing his story.
You're over it. You know why I know you're over it?
Why is that?
Because you have started miming The Rock.
Have
you have taken the crybaby mantra.
Yes.
And if you cry at all, not even cry, if you like give a soft little whimper
yes.
about Cody not finishing his story, then you are exactly who The Rock was talking about.
That's right.
You become a Cody crybaby.
And I would never want to be a Cody crybaby.
You don't want to be a Cody crybaby. You don't want to be someone who's pining for the great Cody Rhodes to finish his story.
Well,
you can't anymore. You can't care.
I think that I want Cody to finish the story. I do. but I'm not ready to have it happen at WrestleMania 40. Mm. And I'm going to do this real quick. I've booked the end to WrestleMania. I booked it.
All right.
I think it's very simple.
I think we've heard 30 books from Evan.
Have you heard this book?
Not this one, but just various iterations of your book.
Speaking of books, My Man's Bible on sale April 2nd.
Right, cheap book. Shout out Mick Foley.
Thank you. Very simple. In that final match where it's bloodline rules, because assume The Rock and Roman will win their match on Saturday, there will be people that will appear to help Cody Rhodes. First, when Solo Sikoa comes to interfere, John Cena's music will hit, and he will stop Solo from helping Roman Reigns. Then, when The Rock goes to help Roman Reigns, Stone Cold Steve Austin's music will come off.
Very inspired. He will stop The Rock
from helping Roman Reigns.
Had all these actual actors now getting back into the ring.
You like that? And then it's just Cody and Roman, and it's over, right? This is it. No one's there to stop him. As Roman is about to finish his story, Seth Rollins turns on him. And that allows Roman to win and continue his streak. This leads to a Cody-Seth feud. Cody will beat him. And then at Madison Square Garden, because it's the only place this story should be finished, not in Philadelphia. Give me a break with that Rocky crap. At Madison Square Garden, it's Survivor Series. Cody finishes his story. And that's it. And then we move on.
Nice.
So I'm okay with him finishing his story, but in Philadelphia, cut the crap.
Honestly, bro, I'm getting to a point where I don't think he should ever win the title. I think he should, and if he does, like if he were to win the title at Mania, during his promo on Raw or SmackDown, wherever he does it, they need to have him get cashed in on immediately and lose that thing.
Oh, look at you.
You got to keep him on the chase, man. Yeah, you only love people when they're on the chase. Right. Once they get on top, it's like, all right, what else do I have to root for?
Pedestal over. Now you want to knock him off the pedestal.
Exactly. Like, we're Mets fans. If we ever won a championship, what would we actually do?
Oh, stop with that, Zoom. See, you were all good until you got to the Mets part. So use the Jets as an example. You tell me if the Jets win the Super Bowl, we wouldn't know what to do with ourselves?
Yeah.
Like, Beningo would have an identity crisis?
Maybe. He might. He might be looking for the Grim Reaper for the rest of his life. Like, wait, dude, he's coming. How's he at? The Grim Reaper's coming. Dude, where's he at?
Ken is calling from Long Island. How you doing, Ken?
What's up, Ken?
Good afternoon. Longtime Met fan. I was 9 years old in 69. My first year of Little League, I begged for number three, Harrelson's number. And I relate to, you know, hope springs eternal every season. I think J.D. Martinez, you know, it can only help. I appreciate the new owner. He's got the money. He's trying to make something happen.
Yep.
The problem, realistically, is the pitching. You need good pitching, and you can't have enough pitching. The only other third point I wanted to make is McNeil should be batting second or third. The guy won the batting crown. He knows how to hit. I know he had an off year. He's earned it. He shouldn't be batting sixth. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm okay with doing
that was an issue with Evan's lineup.
Yeah, he didn't like my lineup very much.
Yes.
I'm not ready to do that yet. And I also want my three best hitters hitting in the first inning. And as of this moment, and maybe McNeil could change that, my three best hitters are Brandon Nimmo, Pete Alonso, and Francisco Lindor. Now, I do want to comment on pitching. Because he said something, and it's a cliche, and it's not true anymore. He said, you need pitching, you need pitching, you need pitching. Last year, the Texas Rangers team ERA was the same as the New York Mets. Mm-hmm. Last year, the Arizona Diamondbacks team ERA was worse than the New York Mets. It was 4.47. It was below league average. Do you need pitching, or do you need pitching when it matters? Make the postseason, play well for a few weeks, and then anybody can win it. The Met pitching is average. I agree with that. This is not going to be the strength of the team. But can they hit enough to have decent starting pitching, a real good bullpen, and win 85 games? Yes. Teams do it all the time. So I disagree with that notion. And by the way, it pains me to disagree with that older gentleman because I'm an old school fan too, man, and pitching's awesome. And, oh, you need pitching. But do you need pitching? Think about that. The Arizona Diamondbacks last year, the team that snuck into the playoffs had a 4.47 ERA, worse than the league average. It is now a cliche that is not backed up by reality that you quote-unquote need pitching to be a playoff team. More of your calls coming up. We've got a Cinco de Fivo at top five list with a guest lister. And are the New York Giants not interested in J.J. McCarthy? there may be some new evidence to say that they aren't.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.